Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And then jumping down to the footnote, in very small print, some manuscripts add, "For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." And may God bless to our understanding and our heart's response all our reading of his word. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for your word. Enable me to read it faithfully, the sermon prepared by Reverend Holzlag, and open our hearts to understand your word. And help us to apply it in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, brothers and sisters, young people, boys and girls. In the previous sermon I read to you by Reverend Holzlag, and tonight's is the last one in this series. We've reached the end of the Heidelberg Catechism on the Lord's Prayer. We have been working through the Lord's Prayer. And in that last sermon, we saw that the last part is actually in the footnote of our ESV Bibles. Look down or to the side, where it says, as we've just read, some manuscripts add, "For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." And these words, you will recall, are not referenced in Luke's Gospel at the beginning of chapter 11, where we also find the words of the Lord's Prayer. And last time we also noted that we have around 6,000 reasons, as of a few years ago, or 6,000 manuscripts, to view these words as the conclusion to the prayer that the Lord Jesus taught us to pray. So here we are this evening with our text from the footnote to Matthew 6, verse 13, and it is simply this: Amen. A one-word text. Amen. Listen to a person pray in Chinese or I did practice that, or Portuguese, or Maori, or pretty much every language in the world, and there will probably be one word of their prayer that you will understand. Amen. It may be pronounced slightly differently, but it will usually be recognisable. And the reason for this is because Jesus taught us to finish our prayers with the word Amen. Amen is an Old Testament Hebrew word, and Greek, which is the language of the New Testament, did not have the word Amen. It was imported directly from the Hebrew. And pretty much every language there is has done the same thing, imported the word Amen. I want to show you an example of this in our first reading, and these readings are all listed on the sermon outline on the back of your order of service. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14. So 1 Corinthians 14. The situation is that the Apostle Paul is addressing in the Corinthian church the matter of tongue speaking in worship. That is, speaking in other languages. He also describes it as praying in the Spirit. The problem was that those hearing it could not understand what was being said. Look at verse 9. So with yourselves, if with your tongue you utter speech that is not intelligible, how will anyone know what is said? But look at how he makes the same point later in verse 16 of chapter 14. Otherwise, if you give thanks with your spirit, how can anyone in the position of an outsider say Amen to your thanksgiving when he does not know what you are saying? So, Paul is telling us that outsiders or visitors from elsewhere expected to be able to say Amen to what they heard in worship. So here we are just a couple of decades after Jesus taught his disciples to say Amen. And the rest of the Lord's Prayer. This final word, Amen, was already a universal word of prayer and worship. And it still is today, as we have observed and as we are to practice. So what does this little word, Amen, mean? What are we saying when we speak it? How is Amen used in the Bible? Why should it end our prayers? Why should we speak it in worship? This is what we want to think about this evening as we look at, firstly, the meaning of Amen, and secondly, the practice of Amen. That's our 2 points, the meaning and the practice. Let's begin with the meaning of Amen. The Hebrew word is directly related, in fact, almost identical to the Hebrew word for believe, aman, or faithful. Its basic meaning is sure or truly. Several times in John's Gospel, Jesus literally says, Amen, Amen, I say to you, which in our English versions is rendered as truly, truly, I say to you, or maybe verily, verily. So Jesus was emphasizing the truthfulness of what he was saying with a double Amen. Hebrew dictionaries tell us that Amen means to confirm, support, uphold, to be established, be faithful, be true, to be certain, that is, to believe. So when the believer says Amen, he or she is expressing agreement and belief that what has been said is true and certain and established and reliable. Amen, I believe. Let's turn now to Deuteronomy chapter 27. Deuteronomy chapter 27. And from verse 9, Moses is speaking to the people of Israel. He tells them that the Levites were going to read out the list of covenant curses. Now from verse 9, that these curses would come on the people if they disobeyed the law of God. And the list here then starts at verse 15. After each curse, we read, and all the people shall say, Amen. Look, for instance, at verse 26. Cursed be anyone who strikes down his neighbour in secret, and all the people shall say, Amen. Sorry, that's verse 24. And verse 26. Cursed be anyone who does not confirm the words of this law by doing them, and all the people shall say, Amen. The congregation had to say, we agree with this curse. We understand that it truly will happen if we disobey God. That would have been a pretty solemn ceremony. Amen. We understand that this will truly happen if we disobey God. But there is a positive side to this also. Skip ahead to Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 8 and at verse 5. While you're looking to that, let me remind you of a similar passage that we've already read this evening from 1 Chronicles 16, where King David instructed Asaph and his brothers to lead the whole congregation of Israel in a service of thanksgiving. At the end of the thanksgiving song, we read, "Then all the people said Amen and praised the Lord." So the whole congregation added their agreement to the song of thanksgiving. Well, you've found Nehemiah now. And at verse 5, we read, "Ezra opened the book of the law in the sight of the people, for he was above all the people. And as he opened it all, the people stood. Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, Amen, lifting up their hands." The people were saying, "It is true. God deserves our praise. We agree with your blessing, Ezra. What you have said is trustworthy and reliable. All that you have said about God's greatness, we echo with our Amen." Now, we will return to this point when we come to the practice of the Amen. But I hope you can already see that there is a proper place in worship for the spoken Amen of the congregation. Boys and girls, have you ever been in a cave and heard an echo when someone calls out a compliment or otherwise? Maybe someone shouts out, "Archibald is cool! Archibald is cool! Archibald is cool!" It echoes around. Well, it is a good and proper thing for there to be an Amen echo in our worship. Whoever leads in worship says Amen, and then in the congregation, Amen, Amen. We'll come back to this point. But there is more that needs to be said first about the meaning of Amen. To the last book of the Bible, to Revelation chapter 3 and verse 14, which is part of one of the letters to the seven churches in Revelation, we read, "And to the angel of the church in Laodicea write, the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of God's creation." Who is being talked about here? It is the Lord Jesus. He is given the name, the Amen. The words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness. And this shouldn't surprise us, because Jesus himself described himself in John 14:6 as the truth. The word of the Lord Jesus is 100% faithful and reliable and true. Everything he has said about himself and about the Father and about us and about this world and about salvation is total truth. He is truly our eternal Amen. When we say Amen in worship and in prayer, we are confessing that Jesus Christ is the truth. This point is also made in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. Let's turn there next. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 20. "For all the promises of God find their yes in him." That's in Jesus. "That is why it is through him that we utter our Amen to God for his glory." There are so many promises of God in the Old Testament about a coming Messiah and salvation. The seed of Eve, the seed of Abraham, Emmanuel born to a virgin are just some. Well, Jesus Christ is God's yes to these promises, the Amen to these promises. The promises are fulfilled and secured by his blood on the cross of Calvary. So because God says Amen to us through Christ on the cross, we are to respond with Amen to God through Christ in worship, in prayer. We are to declare that Jesus Christ is the faithful and true witness and our Saviour and Lord, which is what we do when we say Amen. But let's turn, lastly, in connection with the meaning of Amen, to John chapter 16, verse 23. John chapter 16 and verse 23, the second part of it. 23b. Jesus is speaking to his disciples and also to all those who would follow him. Truly, truly, I say to you, or literally, Amen, Amen, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. And this promise is why the Catechism answer says it is even more sure that God listens to my prayer than that I really desire what I pray for. Isn't that extraordinary? Isn't it so comforting? Do we always truly mean and absolutely desire everything that we pray for? We should, but sadly, being sinful, we often don't. We are easily distracted. Sometimes when other people are praying, we are thinking about something very different. Sometimes our prayers are just a bunch of words, it seems, rolling off our tongues because we're not truly concentrating on what we are saying. But if we trust in Christ for our salvation and are praying because God commands us to pray, and we pray in Jesus' name, saying Amen, the Catechism reminds us that it is even more sure that God listens to my prayer than that I really desire what I pray for. What a gracious God we serve. Well, we'll say more about this shortly, but adding all we have said up, Amen means it is true, we agree, it is certain, we believe it, and this is so because Jesus Christ is the truth and the yes to all God's promises. And God hears our amens and answers our prayer. Let's move on then now to the matter of the practice of Amen, our second and final point. We begin with the point we made earlier in connection with 1 Corinthians 16. 1 Chronicles 16, and Deuteronomy 27, and Nehemiah 8, verse 6, which is that it is entirely fitting and appropriate that we say Amen during our worship services. This is not about particular worship traditions or different personality types. This is about God's will for gathered worship, which we have seen in an age-old biblical pattern, captured in a word that crosses all cultures, Amen. The congregation, we ought to be saying Amen. So there are times when, during the service, the minister will say, and all God's people said, and the congregation responds with an Amen. At the end of our service, we'll sing a doxology. Doxology, a glory word. The last song of our service is a doxology, praising and honouring God. And it usually involves an Amen. Or we finish with a congregational Amen. While we want to be careful that we don't fall into the trap of shouting out our Amens, perhaps in order, consciously or otherwise, to be noticed by others, at the end of the opening greeting of the service, grace and peace to you, at the end of prayers, at the end of Bible readings, or at the end of the sermon where truth has been declared, it is entirely appropriate for us to say, Amen. You don't have to wait for the minister to say, and all God's people said. You have the warrant of Scripture to say, Amen, during worship. But this is about more than just a congregational Amen at the end of prayers or doxologies. If you are talking to a group of people, it is very natural for them to nod and say to you things like, agreed. Mm. In fact, if they're standing there looking at you and they don't move or blink or make a sound, you would start to worry that they were not listening to you, or would suspect that they did not agree with what you were saying. It's why our conversation is so important. I'm going to use the word whisper, because as we've said, this is not about drawing attention to ourselves or distracting the person leading in prayer. But whether it be congregational prayers or diaconal prayers or prayer time around the family dinner table, you will find it very helpful to whisper, or yes, Lord, or amen, during prayer. Doing this helps you to avoid mentally drifting off in prayer and instead to pray along with whomever is leading in prayer. It supports the person leading in prayer. It is a way of expressing your longing that God would do what he or she is asking God to do. It's entirely fitting and appropriate that we say amens during our worship, and especially in prayer. But there is another implication for worship that arises from the passage in 1 Corinthians 14 that we looked at earlier. Paul was rebuking the Corinthians because they were saying in worship, what they were saying in worship could not be understood by outsiders. And it follows from this that we too should want those who come to our worship services to be able to understand what is said and say Amen. That's why in an English-speaking country, our official regular worship services are in English. Most people in our country speak English, so we have our services in English. And if we have people for whom English is a second language and very difficult to understand, for them to understand, then we have a duty to help them understand. And so, for example, Mr. Holzlag in New Zealand, and even our own Mr. Overton in Box Hill, send their written service to those who have English as a second language so that they can read along as they hear the sermon preached. They can look at the sermon through the week to help with understanding. Some churches offer language-assisted Bible study classes to help ESL people learn English. These are the sorts of things which can be done to help ESL people add their Amen. But it needs to be said also that this principle is broken by the many churches that have their official regular services in a language other than English. Can you see that? It is simply not possible for the vast majority of people in our country to walk into a church service that is in Chinese or Tongan or Dutch and understand what is said and say Amen. For the sake of the gospel and our witness to the world, our official regular worship services should be in the language understood by most people in whichever country we are in. Well, our final point to do with the practice of the Amen is about prayer. Earlier in the sermon, we looked at John 16, verse 23b, which is where Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you." So, is it the case that so long as we pray in Jesus' name and end with Amen, God will give us whatever we ask of him? Have you received from God everything you have asked for in prayer with an Amen? I'm sure you have not. So what did Jesus mean here? Well, we have a very helpful answer to that in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 to 9. Let's turn there together, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, 7 to 9. Here we read about a prayer of the Apostle Paul, who says in verse 7, "To keep me from being conceited by the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from being too conceited." You see, Paul spoke to the Lord Jesus in visions, and to keep him from getting too elated or self-important, he was given what was probably some sort of physical affliction. Paul continues in verse 8, "Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me." So three times, in the name of Jesus, with an Amen, Paul prayed for this thorn in the flesh to be taken away. And Paul would have prayed this believing that he could serve God better without this thorn in the flesh. But Paul was not given what he asked for. In verse 9 we read, "But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness.'" And what this response reveals is that Paul's prayer was answered in an even higher and more wonderful manner than he could have imagined. Paul was better equipped for his work as an apostle through having this weakness, this thorn in the flesh, and being given sufficient grace, grace sufficient for it, than if he had had the weakness removed. Do you see how liberating it is to understand this? We are to come to God and ask him for things. Ask him to help you grow in patience or self-control, for example, and you can be sure that he will give you what you ask, because it is his will for you to grow in patience and self-control. It says so here in the Bible. And even though you cannot know if something like you or your loved one being healed is in accord with his will, because that is not in here, you can be certain that it is even more sure that God listens to your prayer than that you really desire what you pray for. And though your knowledge is limited and your desires ebb and flow, and you are full of imperfections, God is faithful. He has promised to work all things for the good of those who love him. Romans chapter 8. So, believer, when you turn to God in prayer, in Jesus' name, and add your Amen, you cannot lose. Well, one quick observation as we close. Do you know what the final word of the Bible is? Revelation chapter 22, verse 21. It is Amen. The Bible ends with the promise of the Lord Jesus that he shall return soon. And then we read an Amen. We call on the Lord Jesus to come and we read, "The grace of the Lord Jesus be with you all. Amen." This is a powerful statement from God that the whole of this book is absolutely true and trustworthy. So in view of all we have learned today, may it be that there is new meaning to our amens, that there are lots more amens. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father God, we thank you for this little word, this almost overwhelming word of amen. And as we have ranged through your word this night, we thank you for your instruction. Father, we thank you for the amen, the Lord Jesus. And we pray that in our worship of him, in our worship of you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that we would indeed pray like this. We thank you for all that we have learnt in this series on the Lord's Prayer. Father, change, strengthen our thinking on these things, our understanding on these things, and our actions. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.